Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. 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 And again, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Mashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our sinful and King. Father, thank you for giving us the breath of life, Father. We ask that you hear our prayer. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins, that we can live knowingly and unknowingly, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to show us our wrongs, Father, that we may correct them through your Spirit, Father. And when we stray to the left and to the right, Father, you chastise us and get us back on your path, Father, in your loving kindness. Father, we thank you for the breath of life, Father, that you bestowed upon each and every person today, Father. We ask, Father, anybody who's hurting mentally, physically, spiritually, Father, that you comfort them according to your will, Father. We ask that you comfort our brother Ariel, who has lost a loved one, Father. Watch after him, Father, and comfort him and let him know that you are there, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to open up our minds and our ears and our hearts to your word, Father, that they be engraved in us, that we be doers of your word, Father, and not just hearers, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to protect us as we go out and about in this world, Father. Protect those that are on their way here to give you praise, glory, and honor and meet with you, Father. Protect all those that's on their way wherever they're going in the world in honor of your Shabbat, Father. Father, we ask that you just continue to grow us, continue to open your word to us, Father, and continue to mend us into the men and women that you want to be, Father, the sons and daughters that you desire. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Blessed be Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered for truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva Israel. Shabbat Shalom, family. Hope everybody had a good week. Once again, if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. Lay your burdens to the side, and let's talk with Abba. You know, this week was a pretty all right week for me, finally. You know, Abba, no real hiccups. No big hiccups. This week, we're going to be talking about Matthew chapter 12, verse 38-39. He talks about an adulterous generation, an evil and adulterous generation. And let's go there, Matthew 12, 38-39. And it reads, Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Well, you know, this is their answer to something, because Yahushua was speaking before them, right? But this is their answer. They're asking all the things that he said before them. They want a sign from him. They want to know, okay, all the stuff you said, how are we going to know it's going to come to pass, right? He said, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, this is Yahushua's answer for the scribes and the Pharisees asking for a sign. He says, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. So, of all the truths and all the things that's been going on and when Yahushua was on the scene, all the things that he's done and all the things that they witnessed, the scribes and the Pharisees were still asking for a sign. But even though they witnessed him doing the healing, witnessed him bringing the dumb speech, making the blind able to see, and all these different things. They witnessed all that. But yet, they're still asking for a sign. And that's always been Israel's problem, right? Yahweh has given us signs, but we don't believe the signs. So we don't believe Yahweh. Israel has always had this issue. And so at the time of Yahushua, he says, an evil and adulterous generation. So if you look at the word for evil in the Greek, number 4190, this word is poneros. And it means, it says from a derivative of 4192, it says hurtful, that is evil, properly in effect or influence. It's talking about the character. Calamatius, figurative calamatius, ill, diseased, you know. But one of the things it also says in the Browns, Briggs, and Driver, it says full of labors, annoyances, hardships. So we keep on asking the Most High for sign after sign after sign when he's giving us signs. That's kind of like an annoyance to him. That's a labor for him to keep on giving you signs and signs and signs and signs when I've given you signs. You just don't believe them. I've given you all these different things in the lifetime of Israel. Israel has had an experience with Yahweh like nobody else. They had all these signs. Only they experienced the stuff that they experienced. And yet they don't believe the signs. So it becomes a labor to the Most High to keep on trying to prove himself. When is it going to get to the point where we just believe him? Amen. When is it going to be just good enough where his word is just good enough? Hallelujah. You know, that's when it has to keep. See, Amen. But what happens with Israel is that we constantly doubting, so we constantly need a sign. We constantly, well, Father, how will we know? How will we know this? Well, how will we know this? How do I know this? And how do I know? And when you look at through the history of Israel, that's what you have. A constant going back and forth, Father, and you have some men, and it's not all of Israel, but that's what makes Abraham so special. And that's what makes David so special. And that's what makes this man so, you have the standouts, you know? And not saying that they're perfect, because sometimes they require the sign. You know, Hezekiah was a man on par with David, but he required the sign when the prophet came to him and told him he was about to die. 10 seconds later, came back, no, you're not about to die. Hold up. You just said two things now. I need a sign. You know, it don't take away from Hezekiah, but at that time, well, hold up. You just told me two different things. I need a sign. You know? So it don't take away from that, but Israel, throughout Israel for the most part, have gotten signs throughout the history of it and didn't believe none of them. Didn't believe none of them. And so they just keep on going back and forth. And that's why it becomes laborers for the Most High. It's a labor and it's a burden for the Most High. And you hear that within the words of the Most High. He gets tired of it. He gets tired of how many times do I have to prove myself to my kids? How many times do I have to tell Israel and let them know I am the only mighty one? I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh that sanctifies you. I'm Yahweh that heals you. I'm Yahweh. I'm me. I'm the one you're supposed to serve. How many times I have to keep on telling you that? You know? I shouldn't have to keep on proving myself to you, Israel. Me and you got this storied history together. We got a long history together. But you never believed me from the time I took you out of Egypt. Never. And so when is it going to get to a point where you finally believe me? Well, I don't have to prove myself anymore, Israel. When are we going to get to that point? When are we going to move this relationship forward where I can just step in and just do what I'm supposed to do? Right? So he says, that's the word for evil. But then you had the word for adulteress. Number 3428, and this word is moikalis, and it means just that. It's the feminine form of adulterer, and then you have an adulteress. This is the feminine form of it. So this is the feminine form of it, and you have the adulteress. You're cheating on me, Israel. You are cheating on me. Why? Because you don't believe me. But it's real easy for you to believe somebody else when they come around and they have all this going on and this, that, and another. You believe them, but then you question my word. My word is supposed to be the truth with you. How is it that you give over to what this guy say or what that guy say and don't believe me when I'm the one who's doing all this stuff to you, right? So, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 24. And it's our brother, you know, Brother Shaul writing. Excuse me. And it reads, for Messiah sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the stake of Messiah should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the stake, to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of Yah. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not Yah made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of Yah, the world by wisdom knew not Mighty One, it pleased Yah by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Messiah crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Messiah, the power of Yah, and the wisdom of Yah. So, what he's saying is, you have all these different wisdoms in this world. And people put the wisdom of this world on a higher grade than something so simple as this man dying for your sins. Because they see this man dying for your sins as foolishness. The Greeks do. And he said, the sign for the Jews, for them, this is their sign. You have this man dying on the stake for you. That's a stumbling block. I can't get past this man dying for me. Even though you have the sacrificial system to teach you that. But it's a stumbling block because it's a man. Amen. Just like it was a stumbling block for them when Yahushua said, come, eat of my flesh, drink my blood. That was a stumbling block to them. They didn't get it. They forgot just certain stuff where it was a point in time where man understood that the things you ate became a part of you. You know, that was a simple understanding of man at one time. So it even got so simple that at one time, man believed that when you ate the hearts and the blood of animals, you became you got the strength of an animal. Amen. That was a belief at one time, right? But they forgot that simplicity of that, right? So when Yahushua comes along and says, eat my body, that's all he's saying is, look, let's be one. Amen. Drink my blood, let's be one. But that's a stumbling block to them, right? And then because of that, the Jews still was looking for a sign. But they had a sign, and they forgot the sign, right? They had signs throughout their whole life, right? And the Greeks seek wisdom. And then their wisdom, because this they so wise, something as simple as a man dying for their sins is foolishness to them. That's foolishness. But we preach it, and we become the fools. But it's power to us. Because we get it, because this is what Yahweh said. It's his word. It's outside of the wisdom of man. It's his wisdom. And by his wisdom, he made all this other stuff foolishness. How is it that we see the moon, and right now, you go outside, it gets dark real early. The moon out real early. Every night, you can go out and check the moon when the sky is clear and see that it increases from right to left. How is it that any man can tell you that it increases left to right? How can anybody tell you the opposite when that's a sign? Genesis 1:14. That's the first time we see the word sign. Let's go there. Genesis 1:14. And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, very first thing, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. So one of the lights that he stuck up there, and he says it, in verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars. All right, so that's what he did. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. They rule over the greater light is the sun. Nobody can deny that the sun is brighter than the moon. Nobody's going to deny that. Ain't nobody going to argue that. I hope that's not the next argument, that the moon is the greater light. Because you can see the foolishness of man just keep rising up and rising up and rising up. And they want to do anything to discredit this word. Anything. All right? So anybody can see that the sun is greater, has a greater light than the moon, right? So the moon rules over the night. And if you go out there and look at it, because it's there in the sky for you as a sign, you can see that it waxes to the from right to left and gets greater. Right? Everybody sees that. But then you have a man, you have these men up here saying it's the opposite. How are you going to say that? You don't believe the sign that Yahweh gave you, and it's right in front of you. And that's Israel's problem.
Man.
Yahweh keeps on sticking signs in front of you, and you don't believe them. So therefore, you don't believe the Most High. You know, the word say in the end days, it's going to be seducing spirits that go out. It's going to be a whole bunch of lies that go out. But what do you say? You're supposed to try those spirits by the word.
Amen.
You line it up against the word. But the problem is you're not believing the word in the first place. If that means you have to believe this has to be the truth.
Right.
And you have to line everything up against this.
Right.
That's what has to happen. But what you got now is the opposite. You got everybody trying to line this up against that.
Amen.
And that's not the truth.
Amen.
And it will never be the truth.
Amen.
That's the problem. That's why it's so much confusion in Israel. That's how you can even argue the Sabbath. You know, it's a couple different ways. And one of the things that Abba showed me, he gave us another sign. He rained that manna down.
Amen.
Every day. 6 days it was a double portion. On the seventh day it was none. That has absolutely nothing to do with the phases of the moon. So if he's teaching you the Shabbat that way, and that's your sign, what that got to do with the moon? What that got to do with any phase of the moon? Because now you and the moon have been in existence for a couple thousand years now. So what about that? What about all these other signs that Yahweh has given? See, but the problem is we don't believe Yahweh. His word just is not good enough for us. It's just not. And so we're always going to be in a state of confusion. We're always going to be going back and forth. We're always going to be worrying the Most High. Because he gets tired of it. He gets tired of going back and forth. With it. It's a labor for him. We are literally laboring the Most High. We are causing our Father, who loves us beyond a shadow of a doubt and will do anything for us, to really go, God, what am I going to do with these kids? He gets sick of Israel. And there's no other way of saying it. He gets sick of us because we don't believe him.
Amen.
Right? So that's the first time we see sign, right? First time the word sign was ever used. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Any questions or comments so far? Everybody following?
Hey.
All right. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Oh, shoot. And this reads, and Moshe answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, Yahweh has not appeared unto thee. And Yahweh said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moshe fled from before it. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, put forth thy hand, and take it up by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, have appeared unto thee. And Yahweh said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, if they will neither believe, they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So again, now we find the purpose of these signs,
amen.
Right? The purpose of the signs, it says you have to hearken to the voice of the signs.
Amen.
The voices of the signs are the signs are talking to us,
amen.
Right? That's why he put it there. The moon, the sun, the moon, what did he say? The heavens talk to us. They have speech, right? But even though we don't hear them, they ain't saying something verbally, but they're talking to us. That's why he gave these signs in the first place, to speak to us, to communicate with us, right?
Amen.
And to believe him, right? Because the first thing that Moses said, they're not going to believe that you sent me. So what did he do? Gave them two signs to show. I'll first take the staff, boom. If they don't hear that one, here go another one for you. Okay, if they don't hear them two, here go another one for you, right? But it's all to get you to believe the voice of Yahweh. That's why he gave them. So when people speak outside of the signs, then they're not believing the voice of Yahweh. And then you're hearing these things, and they go, wait a minute. That's why in your spirit, when you hear something, Yahweh going, that don't sound right. He's speaking to you. He's telling you, well, what about this? Well, what about that? You just can't believe every little thing that pop up every now and then. Because it's going to be people popping up with all these different, well, what about this? And what about, look at this? And let's turn this, and let's do this, and let's look at this. No. What about the voice of Yahweh? What about it? See, because everybody want to twist and turn and sit and miss that and another. And this. No, what about what Yahweh said? You know? Everybody, you know, the thing is, whole thing, something that me and Ahab was talking about. Hey, man, everybody making this big deal about the full moon being the new moon. But nobody gave one scripture. Everybody want to look for a new moon scripture. The dark moon is the full moon. But nobody looking for a full moon scripture saying it's the new moon. If that's the case, why not do the inverse? Because you asking people to prove a point and say, okay, if you believe the sliver, where's your scripture for that? Okay, here's our scripture. Here's the scripture. Genesis 1:14. He gave the sun, the moon, and the stars to give light to the earth. That's when it starts giving light, that little slip. If it's giving light, what about the other 13 days that's been given light before it gets full? It's just giving more light. That's all. It's not talking about the word I'm talking about. They don't say how much light. And if your point to me is the dark moon or that little sliver is not the first, I have to show a verse saying that little sliver is the new moon. Or you show me a verse where it says the full moon is the new moon. You show me that, and I'll accept it. If you can show me that, I'll accept it. But I gave you my verse. Here it goes. Because this is what the sun, the moon, and stars are supposed to do, because that's what they do. Now, if you're telling me that it's been doing it for 13 days and now it's new, no, that makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. None. Because that's not what Yahweh said. He said, I'm giving, it gives light. That's it. It's a time when it's dark, when it's not giving light, and then there's a time when it starts to give light. That's all to it. It's not hard, but you want to keep on trying to complicate things and trying to fit stuff within there, and you can't. And let's see what they're doing. In Exodus chapter 13, 1 through 9. And this reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moshe said unto the people, remember this day at which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand Yahweh brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day turned you out in the month of Abib, and shall be when Yahweh shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto your fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy sons in that day, saying, this is done because that which Yahweh did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee, upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath Yahweh brought thee out of Egypt. So, the it in this verse 9 is talking about the unleavened bread. That's supposed to be a sign for us, right?
Amen.
So, when we look upon that unleavened bread, it's not just dead bread that's broke, that has no leaven in it. No, it's supposed to bring back stuff to mind for us, right? So when we look upon that bread, it's not just, okay, time to eat matzah, right? Because one of the things we're going to read a little bit later, when we forget the point of the sign,
man,
that's what Yahweh gets upset about,
man.
You know? And don't get me wrong, it's supposed to be a festive time. It's supposed to be a wonderful time and this, that, and another. But we cannot forget the reason why Yahweh gave us these signs in the first place. He gets angry about that. He gets upset. That's a labor to him that he has, because when we see certain things, when we see that matzah, one of the things that we're supposed to remind us, this is Yahushua's body being broken for us. Right? When we take that on, that's something we're supposed to always bring back. I don't care if it's matzah pie. I don't care if it's matzah pizza. The point that the matzah, see, because sometimes we get caught up in the festivities of it, that we forget the meaning behind it. And that's a labor to Abba. Okay, and Israel did that. Israel forgot the meaning behind these things. They forgot it. They forgot why these things were given in the first place. We don't want to make the mistakes of our forefathers. We're supposed to be getting better, and we're supposed to be growing closer to Yahweh than our forefathers ever was. We are a generation that's distant from that, and our kids are supposed to be closer to Yahweh than we were. And it's supposed to, that's how it's supposed to keep snowballing. That's what's supposed to keep happening.
Amen.
You know, but Israel just keeps on jumping back. We keep on going back. We have issues. We have doubts. We have, and we don't. And at the end of the day, we can say it, call it how you want. At the end of the day, we don't believe Yahweh. That's where all that stems from. We don't believe it. We have a disbelief of him. We really can't believe some of the stuff that's written here. You know, we have an issue with it, right? So, any questions or comments so far? Exodus 31, verse 12 through 17. Exodus 31, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to say it twice, Aki. And this reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am Yahweh that doth sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he was rest and refreshed. So again, the Shabbat is one of the signs that he gave to us,
man,
to sanctify us, to set us away, to set us apart from everybody else,
man,
right? But Israel has an issue with the Shabbats. Even to this day, we can't even agree when the Shabbats are, right? We can't. All of Israel ain't keeping Shavuot on the same day. All of Israel ain't keeping Tabernacles on the same day. All of Israel is not, is, we're missing the Shabbats, right? So the Shabbat is defiled by those who missed them. Because work is, I guarantee you, work being done on those days. Somebody is doing something they ain't supposed to do. There's a time where we are supposed to be together. This is a time that Yahweh set apart for us, right? So that's the thing. He gets tired of, you think, that Yahweh kept the Shabbat on this day, right? And this is Shavuot, or better yet, beginning of the year, because that's always where it starts from. It always starts with a Abib, always. And once you get that one wrong, everybody, every last one I'm wrong. If you get the first one wrong, can't none of them be right.
Good.
So here come a Abib, here come a Pesach. Once Pesach come in, we had it this year. I think it was in April, was it? I think it was in April. Somebody else kept it in March. Some other people kept it in May. Some people kept it in January. You know? Some people did that, but everybody's Israel. You know? That's a problem. And Yahweh's looking down at this like, that's how he's looking. Can you imagine him just looking at him? He's like, okay, hey, shalom, shalom, bro. Shalom, Maki. Yeah, getting ready for Pesach. Pesach. See, when that goes out, when they say, yeah, we're getting ready for Pesach, everybody should be there. Yes, right, because we all on one accord. But sometimes you say, you're getting ready for Pesach, and you go, Pesach? You get that look like, whoa, you real early. Or, whoa, wait a minute, you way late. That's the issue.
Man.
I've been looking like, no, no, this ain't right. My people ain't supposed to be like this.
Man.
But all of them doing this, all of them supposed to be, all y'all can't be serving me. You
Man.
Can't be. How you say you serving me and one doing this and one doing that and one doing that? Like Paul said, some people got, how is it that we all y'all got a different song? Everybody prophesying something different. Everybody doing, how is all this division among y'all and you serving me? Explain that. Explain that. Because we're not keeping the signs. We don't respect the signs that Yahweh gave us. We're missing their voice. We're missing it. And all of Israel just keep on going. And that's why we're always wandering back and forth trying to figure stuff out. That's why there's always confusion there, because everybody got a new idea. And I guarantee you, 2020 coming up, there's going to be some more new ideas. There's going to be some more, because somebody go ahead, if Mashiach got, what, 30-some-odd days to come back, we're going to hear some explanations of why he didn't come back in 2000, because it's been 400 years since the slaves been over here. So you got 30 more days. He got 30 more days to get back here. I'm going to hedge up my bet and say he ain't coming this year. I'm going to hedge it up. I'm going to double down. He not coming this year. Because
wow.
Now you're going to have to, somebody going to have to do some explaining. So now we got to hear all these new ideas. How we miscalculated and we didn't carry the one and this, that, and all this other stuff. That's all you're going to hear. And it's going to be a whole new set of doctrines now. A whole new set, a whole another round. Instead of just saying, yo, we messed up. We're not listening to Yahweh's voice. And we need to get back and understand for these signs that Abba gave us. We need to get it, because we don't. We're missing it. At the end of the day, nobody wants to humble themselves, and that's always been Israel's problem.
Amen.
Always been Israel's problem. Never want to humble themselves. Never want to say, Father, I missed it. I just don't understand. Because to say I don't understand, I don't get it, that means I need help. But he's the one that you're supposed to go to help for. He's your strength. He's your savior. He's all these different things. But you don't want to go to the one who has the help. So you want to stay in confusion, right? So you have all that going on right now in Israel. And the focus being Shabbat. And because that's the number one sign he gave us. He gave us 52 Shabbats plus 7. 59 Shabbats.
Amen.
59 signals throughout the year to show us and to talk to us. Right? 59. Constantly talking to us on a basis, on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis. He set all these signs there, and we still missing it. So, what's going on with Yisrael? Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. Listen to the wording of this. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?
Amen.
How long I got to deal with these folks? I'm sending all these signs. I'm showing them all this stuff, and they still don't believe me. He's talking to Moshe. He's having a one-on-one with Moshe because he's so tired of Israel that he needs to talk to somebody. Yahweh needs to talk to somebody. He's so sick of Israel not believing him that he really needs, he got to get some stuff off his chest.
Amen.
That's how bad and worrisome Israel is to Yahweh. That's how, let's jump down to verse 27. And it reads, same chapter, verse 27. It reads, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. See, because when you're not hearing the signs and you're going, I know what Yahweh said, but this, that, and that, that's murmuring against him. Not believing him, that's murmuring against him. Taking everybody's word against Yahweh, that's murmuring against him. Because Yahweh said this, but my pastor said this, and Yahweh said this, but the scientist says this, and Yahweh says this, but this book said this. It's murmuring against him. Because we're going against the truth. That's us going back and can't be. Yahweh, you can't be right. That's what we're saying. Can't be right. Nope. And it takes. Ever since Ahab did the whole thing and we got revealed that the earth has a place. It's Makom. It's in a spot. And when we see the sun move around it, when we see the moon moving around it, and then we see the stars moving, and everything is moving around the earth, it just makes sense now. But it took for us a while, and it took for Yahweh to reveal that to, even though it was written there, one guy had to believe it. A chosen one had to believe it, right? He had to introduce it to that. Hold up. This is what the word of Yahweh say. Because this is what the word of Yahweh say. I stuck the earth right here, and everything moves around it, not the other way around. I don't care what NASA say. I don't care what these other, it don't make a difference. Yahweh said he did this. He
Amen.
Created it. The one who created it, he know how he created it.
Amen.
So that's what happens. But once that got revealed, I'm sitting up there, man, that just makes so much sense. Because that's what you see every day.
Amen.
The sun, just every day. Every day, the moon, it might get closer, it might get further away, it might be, but you see those get big, get small, get big, get small, get big. Every day you see that. As the seasons change, you see a set of stars in the air, then another set of stars come in the air, and then another set of stars come. This is what you see. And if Yahweh said, this is what I want y'all to learn by, we don't see the stuff that NASA say. They draw colors. They making up colors on their pictures to make it believable. They're deceiving you. They don't know that Mars is red. They don't know that. They call it the red planet, but that's an artist's rendition. That's what it is. They adding color to that. But they don't know what color Mars is. They sitting up there, I just read something about they found some bug on, now it was a bug last week, now they're not sure if it is a bug. Because they lying, they just making up crap as they go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They found vapors on they look like waterfalls. Really? How can you tell if there's no color out there? How do you know? What color is water? So how do you know? What are you comparing it against? You're lying. Stop lying. Because the world, and let's say it is out there. Who cares? We can't live there. Who cares? I don't care about the waterfalls on Jupiter. It don't make a difference. I'm not going to Jupiter. It makes no difference. None whatsoever. And it's... He gave us the visible world, all this, to teach us. You looking out to Jupiter and still don't know nothing about the Most High.
Hallelujah.
You missing the point. You missing the point and all the beauty that Yahweh has here. To try to find somewhere else. You're missing it. You're missing your... The foolishness of Yahweh is wiser than man. Plain and simple. The foolishness of Yahweh is wiser than man. Because, man, we just, it has to come a time where we just straight believe his word.
Man.
It has to. Where all the signs and this, that, and another, yeah, they're there. Because he's not going to take his signs away. He's not. But let's just say, we've been doing Shavuot for quite some time. We've been doing Sukkot for quite some time. And we're accustomed to it raining. So what if it don't rain one year? Are we going to get shook? We shouldn't. We shouldn't.
Man.
So why it don't rain one year? It was certain things that needed to be done to bring people's faith to a certain level.
Man.
Once your faith get to that certain level, he had to take the baby bottle away.
Amen.
He got to take the baby bottle away. I can't keep on giving you this. You got to know, man. It has to come a time when you have to know for a surety. You know, when you got to take the baby bottle away. You know, because that's the sign of growth. That's the sign of growth. It has to be beyond the shadow of a doubt. If it don't rain on Sukkot, fine. It's still Sukkot. It don't take it away. And we have to understand that, you know. It don't take it away. That's what we have to grow to, you know. But as long as we're doubting, we're never going to get to that. And as long as we don't watch the signals, we definitely ain't going to get to that.
Amen.
Because they're the ones talking to us. They're the ones that's keeping us on track. You know, he's not leaving us. He's not forsaking us. He can't. He then gave so many signals in the world. They ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
As long as you pay attention to what he gave, we're always going to be on track with the Most High. Right? But what do you say? We can't murmur against him because he gets to the point. Yes, Raya. So that was Numbers 14, verses 11 and 27. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, 17. Bless you. And this reads, then Yahushua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generations, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Again, you are talking about a man who went out daily, healed everybody, did everything anybody asked for, right? But he got tired of people not having faith. He got tired of people. How long I gotta put up with y'all? How long are y'all gonna continue to doubt? How long? Y'all be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. We got the bread. Y'all really think I'm talking about bread? Are you serious? How long I got stuff on? How long I been with y'all? How long are y'all not going to get it, Israel? I'm not talking about no bread, man. Don't you realize? Like, look, we had, what, one loaf and five fish or something like that, or five loaves and two fish or something like that. I fed 5,000 people like that, and you gathered up 12 baskets of bread to the full, and everybody ate their full. You really think I'm wrong about bread? Don't you remember the miracles I did? How can you seriously think I'm talking about bread right now? You know, like a father to son. When your father trying to give you that life lesson, and he's talking to you, and it just go right over your head, and your father like, for lack of a better term, I know my son ain't that dumb. I know he ain't that dumb. That's my son. That's my DNA. I wasn't that slow as a kid. I need you to pay attention, Israel.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Israel, you're not slow. You are the son of a king. You're just not paying attention.
Amen.
You just want to do what you want to do. At the end of the day, you want to be lazy? You want to be lazy? You want to be? All right, fine. Look, you're just going to miss it because I'm putting this stuff out here to talk to you. You want to be lazy? You want to be hard-headed? Fine. You're just going to be confused because I got to take the baby bottle away. I got to. It has to come a time when you start eating this steak. It has to. It has to come a time because you got to develop. You got to get stronger, Israel. You got to. Your adversary is not playing. He's developed. He's strong. But you are stronger than him. You don't get it. You don't understand that. And it's not that you don't get it. You don't understand. You just doubt it. Because I told you that. But you just doubt it. You know, I'm going to be. Think about King David. When he went out to that battlefield, he said, I'm going to kill Goliath. You going to kill Goliath? They finally found somebody that was brave enough to stand up to Goliath, and it was this little skinny, good-looking, pretty boy that was going to fight this seasoned warrior, talking about, I'm going to kill him. And they saw David, and they was like, no. Mm-mm. Well, give him the sword. Here's my sword. I can't even use the sword. I'm going to take this stick and some rocks. Lord, 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 Lord. This one we putting our faith in. A pretty boy with a stick and some rocks. But he understood who he was. And he took one rock. He said, I'm fighting for Yahweh. And what happened? One rock killed him. One rock. He didn't use the stick. He just used one rock and cut his head off like he said he was. You know? But they didn't have no faith in David. When they saw David, they were like, no, this is not the one. No. But Yahweh knew who he picked. You know? He was the one that was brave enough. He the one that was roused up. No. Mm-mm. I ain't going to let this man talk about my Heavenly Father like that. Mm-mm. I'm going to get him. He got it. He understood. And it got to come to that point where we understand. You know? Because he might not have been physically intimidating. But when you have Yahweh on your side and he's fighting that battle, he got the battle. Yahweh got the battle. And that's what David got. That's what David understood. That's what he was banking. That's what he was banking his faith in. That's what he put his faith in. That Yahweh, I'm fighting for you. I know you're going to fight for me. At the end of the day. Because he believed Yahweh. Right? And it has to be like that with us. It has to get to a point where Israel, where we stop doubting the signs. We stop doubting all the stuff that Yahweh gave us. When we stop doubting all the stuff in his word and this, that, and another. When we stop doubting. And we become that mature man. Because as long as we're that lackadaisical soldier, we're going to die on the battlefield. Man. As long as we're that undeveloped soldier, we're going to die on the battlefield. As long as we're not doing the trainings and the PTs and this, that, and another, we're going to die on the battlefield.
Man.
You know, because our enemy is fit to kill. That's what he does. That he invented killing. That's what he says. That's his pedigree. When it comes to killing, he's number one. He's the inventor of it. Lie, steal, kill. That's what I do. That's his resume.
Man.
Right? So, again, we don't want to suffer. We don't make Yahushua and the Most High suffer. Ezekiel chapter 20. Right? Any questions or comments so far? All right. Ezekiel chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And it reads, and it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yahweh and sat before me. Then came the word of Yahweh unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Master Yahweh, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Master Yahweh, I will not be inquired of you. I don't want to talk to y'all. What y'all come talking to me for? Right? Verse 4, he says, Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith the Master Yahweh, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh, your mighty one. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them, to bring them forth of the land of Egypt, into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. So before he brought us into the land of milk and honey, he spied out that land. Before he sent the spies into the land, he already spied out the land. Yahweh himself picked out this particular land for us, right? So as he's taking them out of Egypt, he already knew where I want. I already know where I want to take them, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to send some spies into the land so you can see the land that I picked out for you, that I already spied out for you, right? Then he says, and it's called the glory of all lands, right? Verse 7. Then said unto them, now he did all that. Now he saying unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your mighty one. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, and bring forth out of the land of Egypt. So think of the Passover. When all this stuff was going on, all the plagues and all that stuff was going on, right? Yahweh said, they didn't cast away every man the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt while they were in the midst of Egypt. So they still have this foolishness going on while Yahweh is trying to bring them out. They still got foolishness going on with them. Still got foolishness going on with them. And Yahweh said, I was going to destroy them then, but for my name's sake, I'm not going to do that because I don't want people to see me as polluted. I don't want people to see me as, I don't want these heathens, these Egyptians who I'm taking from them as, I don't want them to see me in a certain light, even though my people are foolish in their thinking. They're dumb. They're foolish. They're slow in their thinking. Right? He says, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes and despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted, that I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went away, went after their idols. Y'all see what's going on with Israel? Right? And now, and when you look at this word pollute, we're going to get to that in a minute, right? But what he said, but let's get to it now. This is what they did to the Sabbaths. This word pollute, number 2490, that word is kalal, right? And it means properly to bore, that is to wound, to dissolve, figuratively to profane, to break one, to begin. So when you think of boring something out, right, what you're doing is you, something, most of the time when you bore something out, it's solid, right? And you have to go into it and rip out the stuff that's in there and make it hollow. Well, what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is holy. The Sabbath is sanctified. The Sabbath is set apart. So what Israel was doing was taking out all the sanctity, taking out all the holiness, and making it empty, right? But when you hollow out something, normally it's to fill something in. It's to put something in its spot. So while they're taking out all the holiness, what are they putting in? They're putting in their profaneness. They're putting in all the filth. They're putting in all the, that's what they're doing to the Shabbats. And think about what Israel is doing right now. I set this time apart, Israel, not what you want to make it. I put the sun, the moon, the stars in the sky to keep you on track with me. And because y'all not looking at it, what are y'all doing? Y'all boring out the Sabbath. That's what's happening. Y'all taking away the sign between me and you, my people. Y'all my people. Y'all destroying this sign that's between us. That everybody going to know that I'm sanctifying you. Everybody knows that, right? So he says, besides, verse 16, because they despised my judgment and walked not my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. Can you hear how long I got put up with them? I want to kill them, but I'm putting up with them. I want to destroy them, but I'm putting up with them. I want to, and if I can't kill them right now, the Egyptians will. I can't kill them right now. The heathens will hear about it. I can't kill them right now, but boy, I want to kill them. I want to kill them. They just working my nerves. That's what Israel's doing. Just working his nerves over and over and over again for thousands upon thousands of years. Long suffering, Yahweh said. He says, but I said unto the children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes. This is verse 18, I'm sorry. Verse 18. But I said unto the children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh, your mighty one. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your mighty one. We're going to stop right there, because y'all get the point. They didn't get it either. The kids didn't do it either. And Israel stayed in the state that they were in. Right?
Amen.
Next one. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Isaiah 1:10. Hear the words of Yahweh, your rulers, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our mighty one, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith Yahweh? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So, he called them Sodom and Gomorrah. But he's talking about Israel.
Amen.
He's not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
He's talking about Israel. Israel was the ones that appeared before him. Israel is the ones that burnt offerings to him. Israel is the ones that did all this stuff, the new moons, the appointed feasts. And Yahweh said, I'm sick of y'all doing this stuff because y'all forgot the point of it, which leads us back to what we was talking about,
Amen.
You know, with that matzah and all these other feasts, every last feast. Don't lose track of why he gave them in the first place.
Amen.
Because when we do that, it's like they become our feasts, you know. Because he says, I'm sick of your Sabbaths. I'm sick of your new moons. I'm sick of your solemn assemblies. Your calling togethers. I called you together for a solemn assembly. I did that.
Amen.
See, but now you're doing it under your duration and your reasoning. You forgetting about me.
Amen.
So again, those signs are supposed to be memorials for us, right? Don't ever forget the purpose that he gave them in the first place, right? When we look upon that matzah, don't forget the point of it. Yeah, all that stuff tastes good, and I love it. But let's not forget the reason why he gave it in the first place. Because when we do, now we're polluting his Sabbath. We're taking the sanctity out of it. It's different now. It's not his no more. It becomes ours. And he don't like that. He called the burning of those goats and all that stuff. He said that was a sweet savor to him. The incense, that's a sweet savor to my nose. But now it's to the point he calls that abomination. Because they're doing it wrongly. They took the holiness out of it. They took the sanctity out of it. It's now theirs. Right? Everybody following?
Great.
Okay. Amos chapter 8. Verses 4 through 7. And this reads, "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah soft, and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Yahweh have sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works." I'm not going to forget this. One, you're being deceitful. You're cheating people. But then you're cheating people on the Shabbat. I can't wait for the Shabbat to get away. You're not giving the honor to the Shabbat. Let me take that back. They was waiting for the Shabbat and the new moon to get away so they could cheat people. But they're not giving the honor to the Shabbat in the first place.
Amen.
Right? The Shabbat and the new moon and all that stuff. Solemn assemblies. There's times that this is the time that you're supposed to be coming together to meet the Most High. But you're giving no regard for it. They're looking at it like, I can't make money today. That's how they're looking at it. I want to get back to setting out my corn. I want to get back to putting my wheat out. I want to get back to robbing the poor and giving these false, these scales that aren't balanced. That's what I want to get back to. I want to get back to cheating people. But Yahweh said, I'm not going to forget those works. Ever. Ever. So again, family, we got to get to the point where we rely strictly on Yahweh.
Right.
We got to get past it. And I'm not saying that the signs are for beginners or that, but we got to, if it don't rain, we still got to know that we're on track. We got to go. The word has to be enough. We shouldn't be begging Abba to show me a sign, show me a sign, show me a sign. We shouldn't. The word has to be enough. We have to grow up in Yahweh. We have to grow up to him. Grow up in him. Right? I got one last verse, but I got to find it. Any questions or comments while I'm looking for this? Okay, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We're going to start it. I'm going to start at verse 1. Alright. And this reads, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of Yahweh was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of Yahweh, house of Elohim. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of Yahweh out of the city of David, which is in Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king of the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of Yahweh unto his place, to the oracle of the house, unto the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. And they drew out the staffs of the ark that was in, that the ends of the staffs were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tablets which Moses put therein at Horeb when Yahweh made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Now, what's supposed to be in the ark? Well, from all the times that we heard the ark always had three things in it. It had the tablet of Moses, that had the Ten Commandments, had the manna, and it had the rod of Aaron, right? So what was the manna? The manna was when it rained down from heaven. Say again that? Testimony, right? Rained down from heaven. They was hungry. So he got the light bread, right? But that was a sign of Yahushua, because he says, I was that manna, right? But then you also have the staff of Aaron, which was also a testimony of Yahushua, right? Because one, that went in there because they had to pick the high priest. Number one, it was a symbol of the high priest, but it was also a dead tree that gave life, right? Also a testimony of Yahushua. But those two things aren't in here. Why are those two things missing? And it's just that word. Because those two things are signs. They were signs. Israel asked for the bread. Okay, fine. But within all that, this is how you're going to know what the Shabbat is. When he was raining down manna. When he asked for the death of Messiah. When we started out with Paul. How did we know? It was going to be a dead tree that gave life. Something was going to, and it was an almond that came forth. It sprouted almonds. Right? And from that dead tree, life came.
Amen.
With Yahushua, right? So they were your signals, but that word is still there. That word never changed. That word is by itself. So it got to be a time when we stop asking for signals. It got to be a time when it can't be stumbling blocks or anything like that. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be there or anything like that. I'm not trying to detract from anything, but in accordance with what we're trying to do, in accordance with this lesson, we have to grow up. It has to be a time when that word is within us, and that's the life, the breath, that's our all in all.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? That's
Amen.
What has to be there. We have to get away from the signals. We have to grow up. All right? Any questions or comments about anything? Yes, sir.
Well, it's just before you had came in. I mean, everybody came in. And I was just talking to the creator, and that was a thought. you know. And the thought was based on everything Israel went through, you know, going through Egypt and meeting the Most High at Mount Sinai, everything that the Messiah did, all this, everything he said, the miracles and things like that. Because sometimes I know I get in my head, Father, just open up the skies and do this and do that, and then everybody going to believe. But then he always points you back to the word, no, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make a difference what the Creator did, you know, because in spite of Israel seeing all of these plagues that came on Egypt, in spite of them knowing the Creator exists because they heard him speak, in spite of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their little groups and their little meetings talking about this man has to be of the Most High because all the things that he's doing, they still stood out there and said, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, no matter what the Creator does, you want to have some people, large majority possibly, who just won't accept it,
mm-hmm.
and won't believe it.
That's right.
And that's the truth.
That's the truth.
You know?
You know, but we can't be in that back.
Right.
We don't want to be in that group.
Right.
You know, because they're lost. You know, if you don't accept them, sorry, you're lost. It's just like that whole thing with the homosexuality. You know, if that's what you practice, you're lost. You just say, forget it. I don't want nothing to do with your kingdom.
Right.
That's what you're saying. You know, it's no way around it. You know, and at the same time, you know, we don't want to weary Yahweh.
Amen.
We don't. You know, when you think about all the good that He does for you on a day-to-day basis, you know, you don't. You definitely don't want to weary the hand that's keeping you alive. I mean. He got to the point with Israel where he just wanted to kill him. And I mean, I can take your breath from you just by thinking it.
Amen.
Just by snapping my fingers or whatever. However he feel like doing it,
Amen.
He could just snatch that soul that's within you and bring it back to him. Come home, and it's coming. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
So you definitely don't want to weary the hand that can do that. You know, you don't want to weary that hand. You don't want to make things laborious on them and you know, to the point, how long I have to bear with these people. How long? What didn't Yahushua do? What didn't Yahweh do that he has to go to the point? Why won't y'all believe me? How long I got? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, my goodness. Just worried over them. Because they just wouldn't get right. You know? Yes, sir.
When you were teaching them, you went from, you know, from the old to the new. And I thought that was really good because the Messiah expressed the exact same sentiment of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perverse generation. Oh, faithless. I mean, at some point, when you want to believe?
Right.
I'm doing all these things and y'all still don't believe. You know? So, and I thought that was consistent. With the same way that we see in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
as they say.
That's right.
You know, it was consistent.
No change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad, because it means there was no change in Israel.
It's always consistent.
Right. That's those special ones that actually get it. Mm-hmm. Lisa, you want to sing?
All right, so I'm putting you on the spot.
Is it that Israel didn't believe, or is it that they didn't want to live the way Most High wanted them to live? They didn't want to do all that. You understand my question?
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't want to do all that, and they didn't believe. So they didn't do all that, and they still didn't believe. A lot of things that Yahweh said, don't cheat, right? Have your scales just. They didn't do that. We just read in Amos where they had false scales. Yahweh said, don't oppress the homeless. Don't oppress, the widow, the fatherless, the widow. These are people you're supposed to look out for. We read in Amos how they were buying them a full pair of shoes. The oppression was going on at that time. So, no, they wasn't living by Yahweh's word at all. They wasn't even trying to. They were just like the world is right now. That's how we are.
It was just like they wasn't trying to. It was very few that was living by Yahweh's word. Very few. You know, actually trying to. That's why I think that's why we read these stories. Because you're going to see the one or two folks who are doing right versus the world who's doing wrong. You know, it's very few people we read about Ahab. Ahab wanted the field. So what he do? Got a couple people to lie on the man, get him killed, and then bought the field. He ain't supposed to do it. He's a king.
Right.
You know, he's a king. And it's like you read about the one or two right folks who's actually trying to do what the most Hosea doing, but the vast majority of Israel was not.
Right.
They wasn't. You know, and when you look out the world, you see one or two folks, like, because compared to the vast majority, we probably a half a folk, you know, compared to all the people in the world, people who are actually trying to do right. Probably that we severely outnumbered, severely, you know. And then you have all these quote unquote, I'm right according to Allah, I'm right according to Vishnu, I'm right according. You have all these standards of what is right, you know. But Yahweh is the one who is right, you know. You have all the. You just severely outnumbered, and we just have to do what Abba say. But one of the things that we have to do is grow up in the Most High. We have to get to that next level and keep on pressing forward. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, because we don't want to be stagnant. We don't want we can't just quote unquote lay on our laurels. You know. We learn something, and then Abba has something new. Accept the challenge. You know, that's how I see it. Abba always got something new for you to learn. You know, he always got something he wants you to look into and this, that, and another. You know, accept the challenge, because that's what Abba is doing. He's challenging his people to grow. You know, I gave you this to move you and to get you to a certain level. Accept the challenge. You know, you got all these people out here, accept challenge, accept it. Well, fine. Abba got a challenge for you. Accept his challenge.
Amen.
You know, grow in his way. You know, any other comments or questions? Okay. And that ends this is my cycle. Next week we'll have our brother Hobel. Coming up next week, you know. Yahweh's going to put some stuff on his heart and mind, and he'll be teaching us.
Yeah.
Right. So, Kokun, Yisrael. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Shepard, will you close us up, please?
Father, Yah, thank you for giving us the breath of life this morning. Thank you for allowing us to come once again and gather. Sit at your feet and hear through your servant there well. You use him for your vessel this morning to let us know about your ways. Your ways, not our ways. Your thoughts are not our ways. They're higher than ours. And let us stick to the sign that you give us, Abba.
Amen.
The true sign that man can't alter, can't interfere with. Bless those on their way. Bless those who can't make it. Bless those that are under the weather. Bless those are going through things emotionally, physically, and financially. Let them cast that on the side, put that burden on the side, and enjoy your Sabbath blessings. Bless the brother Ariel, who will bring the word later on to give us more of your instructions, Abba, so that we can be children of your light and go out here into the children of the darkened world. Let them be drawn to your signs that you give, not the signs be dismayed of the heathens. We thank you in the name of your Son, Yahushua, our soon coming King and Savior and Redeemer. Amen.
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 This is the cry of a people who were robbed and raped from their homeland and their loved ones. A people stripped of their culture, their dignity, their liberty, and their rights. And by the cruel and presumptuous hands of the colonial and imperialistic slavers were carved into the West, where for over 400 years they have toiled and labored, and with their blood, their sweat and tears and hands, they have built the great city of Babylon, only to be paid with the wages of the taskmaster's quick torture.
Too long.